This cold wasn't going to stop me from hosting a Kings and Lakers victory podcast. De'Aaron Fox is that dude. He takes over in the second half. And at some point, we should just sit back, relax, and enjoy what Fox is doing. Let's break down his strong game. Plus, we have to talk about the Kings and their swagger that they haven't quite earned yet. It's all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter from ABC 10 News. Yes, still a bit under the weather. Video watchers and listeners on YouTube, you can see that maybe not looking my best here. Audio listeners, apologize for the nasally voice and kind of gravelly voice as well. We're powering through. It always helps me feel a little bit better, though, when the Sacramento Kings can get a victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. Although, I will be honest with you, there was a decent amount from this Kings win in LA that I was disappointed with. And we're going to get into that, but I can't start this podcast off on a negative. I can't start a Kings winning over the Los Angeles Lakers 120 to 114 podcast with a negative. So we'll start with the amazing game that De'Aaron Fox had. 11 points in the first half. He and the rest of the Kings kind of were in cruise control a little bit, something that this team has done far too often in the past after coming off of big wins. We're going to talk about that more later on. But really, in the final couple of minutes of the first half, Fox really started getting it going, and then third and fourth quarter, he absolutely dominated. Fox finishes with 32 points. He had 0 points in the first quarter, to put that into perspective. So 0 points in the first 12 minutes, the final 36, he put up 32 points. But he did it on an incredibly efficient 13 of 19 shooting from the field. He was lethal with his mid-range jumper, but also went 2 of 5 from three-point range. Got to the line 5 times, hit 4 of those free throws, 7 rebounds, flirted with a triple-double, had 12 assists, which is his season high. He was really getting his teammates going in a lot of ways and using the reputation that he has when he dribbles in and around the paint to turn some heads and find the open man, although those assists really started piling up in the second half when shots started falling at a higher clip for the Sacramento Kings. But when you watch what De'Aaron Fox is doing, especially in the fourth quarter, this game was far too close for my liking. There were 23 lead changes, 14 times tied. This game was a lot closer than I think it should have been. But when it came to winning time through the fourth quarter, De'Aaron played like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, then rested for a couple minutes, then came in with about 5 minutes and some change remaining and closed out the game. And really, during that final 5 minutes, it was just the De'Aaron Fox show. Everything that he was putting up was dropping. They were difficult mid-range jumpers, but he was so smooth and so – it's incredible for someone who is as fast as De'Aaron Fox is, right? We know about that speed. We hear people talk about Fox, the fastest, if not one of the fastest guards in the NBA. And when you think back to like rookie and sophomore year De'Aaron Fox, right? Think about how he sometimes was a little bit out of control, right? He'd use that speed to get out and transition, but he would also use that burst that he has to get to the basket. Sometimes it would work out great because it's very hard to stay in front of him. Other times it would result in maybe not as good a finishing around the rim or a bad pass if he ran into trouble or an offensive foul. De'Aaron still has that incredible quickness, but he uses it in a lot more methodical ways. Now, if you notice, like, he kind of just glides out there. It's not necessarily a burst of speed here, burst of speed to that spot, and blink and you'll miss it. And all of a sudden, he's like teleporting to the other side of the floor. It's like a glide, but he has such a quick first and second step that when you're maybe lulled into this sense of, okay, where is he going, or I can stay in front of him, suddenly he's right by you. Like the smoothness that De'Aaron Fox plays with, I think, is the biggest asset to his game right now. I mean, of course he has that wicked speed. He has a significantly higher basketball IQ than he had when he came into the league. And that's not saying that he was a dumb basketball player when he came in. It's just, you can tell the years, the experience, the understanding of the NBA game. Now he's locked into where he can get, how easy he can get to his spots and win, or and what him getting to his spots does for the rest of his team and how it opens up opportunities for the rest of his team. He looks very cerebral with what he does on the floor, always looking around. He has one eye on the rim, one eye on his teammates, a third eye somehow on the defender. Like, De'Aaron is just very methodical in what he does. His decision-making is crisp, it's quick, and it's normally the right decision. Now, of course, he does still make bad plays from time to time. And then you look on the defensive end of the floor, and again, it's not that he's suddenly doing a ton of things defensively that we've never seen him do before. It's just that he's consistently having a defensive presence out there. Now, I wouldn't point to this game as his greatest defensive performance by any means. Certainly doesn't stand out as much as his defense on Tyler Hero in the Miami win, or his defense the other night against Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Defensively, De'Aaron didn't have too many highlights in this game, but my point in pointing it out is the consistency that he's starting to develop on both ends of the floor and how smooth he is with that consistency, how it's not like a burst of energy, a burst of speed. Like I tweeted this out. There are phenomenal players in this league that kind of scream and yell and pound their chest and stunt and do all their things when they have big moments or hit big shots and things like that. And that's great. Like, I personally love that. I love kind of that showboating. I love that energy. I love that passion. De'Aaron doesn't have that. And to be fair, he doesn't need that. Like, De'Aaron, the way that he plays with a confidence. He plays with a composure. Now, we've seen De'Aaron get to points where we used to talk about, hey, if De'Aaron was angry, that's a good thing. You want De'Aaron being more mad because then he'd aggressively attack the rim. And we've seen moments where De'Aaron's let out those big screams after big dunks and things like that. But this year, he's becoming that winning time superstar player, hitting that shot and running back up the floor like, yeah, I just did that. I know I just did that. I'm going to continue to do that. This is who I am. Like, it's just a confidence, a composure, a fluidity to his game, a fluidity to his personality that is really starting to shine through every time he picks up a basketball now for the Sacramento Kings. And when you put him in a position where the Kings need him to step up to help them win a game, not only is he able to do so in the scoring column, but like he did tonight, he's able to do so in the assists on the defensive end of the floor. He's able to step up and guard the best player, or at least best guard on the opposing team, which is something that I think we might see a lot on Sunday's game against the Golden State Warriors, part three of Kings and Warriors already this season. Like, De'Aaron just, he looks like a star. He looks like a star who's been there before, even though he has not, I mean, he's been in winning situations before, but certainly has not been to the playoffs or been to his championship before, but you wouldn't know that by the way that he's playing. He has a confidence. He has a peace about him to how he's playing the game right now. And that makes him even more terrifying than when he's sprinting up the floor full speed and you're trying not to blink so you don't miss him. Like, I think this version of Fox is more frightening to defense, is more frightening to teams. It's because you don't know how to beat him. You don't know how to stop him. Okay, do I leave him open from three-point range? Okay, he's hitting threes. Thanks to Luke Locks, one of the Sacramento Kings assistant coaches. Luke has given or helped De'Aaron develop such a confidence in his three-point shot and the confidence that Fox shoots in that shot. Even if the shot doesn't go in, it's the same release, the same follow through. Like, De'Aaron just has a confidence in that shot. So you can't just leave him open for three-point range anymore. Okay, well, I'm going to sag off a little bit and I'm going to play for that burst of speed or that first or second quick step. Well, then, like I said, Fox will kind of slowly dribble and lull you and glide into that mid-range jumper that'll hit over your head. Okay, now I'm playing for that mid-range jumper. That's when he has that quick first step and gets right by you. And now you can't foul him either because he's going to the free throw line and he's hitting 80%+ of his free throws. Like, how do you stop De'Aaron Fox? What do you do? Literally, what do you do? You hope that he has a bad shooting night. That is what you do. You hope De'Aaron has a bad shooting night. It's great to see De'Aaron making that a part of his, of who he is. But De'Aaron, of course, wasn't the only positive for the Sacramento Kings in this game. Domantas Sabonis, a second 21-point performance. He had 21, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, did have 5 personal fouls, but I thought he did a really good job at the end of the game. He picked up this 5th foul with like 4 minutes or so remaining, something like that, and continued to play physical, smart defense. He was guarding Anthony Davis, so he had that tough assignment. He was switching on guards, meeting them at the rim, wasn't playing scared, managed to avoid picking up that sixth foul, so that was excellent. I want to give some love to Terrence Davis, too. I thought Terrence Davis, who didn't play a second, if I recall, didn't play at all against the Cleveland Cavaliers, stayed ready, came in, provided 12, nearly 13 really, really solid minutes for Sacramento off the bench, had a very efficient shooting night, 12 points, 4 of 6 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3-point range. I thought that some good things on the defensive end as well. Terrence Davis stayed ready and stepped up when the Kings needed him to, especially with Malik Monk having one of his quieter games as of late with just 8 points off the bench, but still the Kings bench stepping up and giving Mike Brown a lot of what Mike wasn't getting from them at the beginning of the season. 36 points from the Kings bench tonight. Now the Lakers got a bunch of points off their bench thanks to 21 points for Russell Westbrook and 19 points from Austin Reeves. So the Kings didn't outscore the Lakers bench, but the Kings bench still gave Mike Brown and Sacramento enough to help them stay in the game when the starters were out, kind of keep it close back and forth. The Kings were down by 13 points at one point in this game, battled back from that. The bench had something to do with that as well. Overall, with the exception of like the game that Keegan Murray had, it was another solid team performance. Sacramento had 7 double-figure scores in their win against Cleveland. They had 6 double-figure scores in this game tonight, including 2 off of the bench. That's great to see. But there are some negatives that I am going to talk about. Once again, Sacramento showed something that they've struggled with for years, which is after a big win and a good win, like the win at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers, taking on a lesser opponent in the Los Angeles Lakers, the Kings haven't earned the swagger and the cockiness isn't the right word, but overconfidence maybe that they brought into this game. I'll talk about that a little more after I tell you about a great sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm talking about LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. You can add your job to the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, and they provide simple tools for you like screening questions. They make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's like having your whole scouting department there for you. LinkedIn provides it for you. You don't have to do all that work yourself. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Now, I would be a hypocrite if I told you that I didn't have expectations of the Sacramento Kings winning this game to start this game. And I know I've said in the past that the Kings aren't in a position or haven't really earned the right to say they should beat anybody on a nightly basis, regardless of the record of their opponent that they're playing, because they're the Sacramento Kings. They haven't won in 16 years. They haven't gotten to that point yet where they can say they should beat anybody. That being said, we believed, and I believed, the Kings were far more than capable of defeating the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James, let alone without LeBron. Of course, he did not play in this game. I expected Sacramento to win this game. I would have been very disappointed if Sacramento had not won this game. Thankfully, they did. However, they continue to do something that it wasn't as debilitating tonight as it's been for this team in past seasons, but it is a swagger or overconfidence that the Kings bring into games against lesser opponents, especially after big wins, where they don't play to their standards, they don't play to their best, and the game is either far too close than it needs to be or a loss as a result. Now, like I said, the Kings won this game, so in the end, you take the win, and you're not going to be perfect every single night. The Kings were getting a lot of open looks and were missing a lot of open looks, especially in that first half. Sacramento as a whole shot 33%, 12 of 36 from three-point range, and a majority of those 12 threes came in the second half. It was a rough shooting night for both teams, but a really rough shooting first half for Sacramento. But still, at the same time, the defensive intensity, the work rate, the communication, the hustle, it just wasn't there like what we saw in the win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. If the Kings had played the way they played against the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers, I believe they would have won by double digits. Now, I understand getting up for a game at home against a good team versus getting up for a road game, even though it's LA, getting up for a road game against a team that is in the pits who also is missing their best star. I get like it's not as exciting. And when you play 82 times a year minimum, like it's some games you're not going to be as fired up and dialed in all the time. But the best teams find ways to make it work. The best teams find ways to close it out at the very least if you're not off to a good start. Thankfully, Sacramento was able to find out how to close this game out. And really, this is back-to-back games, so turning into a positive. This is back-to-back games now, or Cleveland game and the LA game, that Sacramento has managed to close out a close, hard-fought win. So that's definitely a positive. But there are some things that Sacramento, some old bad habits that they still need to break, and I was not pleased with kind of the lethargic energy, going through the motions type play from much of this Sacramento Kings team in the first half. Now, they closed out the first half on a pretty significant run did they have a lead at halftime? I honestly don't remember. Either they did or it was very close. No, I don't think they did. Yeah, no, they trailed by 56-60 at halftime, and they scored a good amount of those. I think De'Aaron Fox hit a buzzer beater three at the end of the first half. The Sacramento Kings did not play as good as that score. Really, honestly, the fact that they were in the 80s by the end of the third quarter, I think the Kings had 87 points at the end of the third quarter. Like, it was a numbers-wise a big scoring night for them in that sense, but it didn't feel like they deserved to have that number and they were putting up that kind of offensive performance. Again, they just kind of felt lethargic, just kind of felt like they were going through the motions a little bit. I want to see this team look sharper consistently. Sharper, especially against beatable teams that you know you can win when you're coming off of big wins. I know it's difficult to do that 82 times a year. I'm trying to be realistic with it. But if Sacramento looked as sharp as they have in the past, now they were still able to win the game, which is good. When the Kings aren't looking their best and they're still able to win, that's major progress for this organization. But had they looked sharp, I think the Kings would have made easy work of the Los Angeles Lakers. That's how talented I think this roster is and how well this group is playing together. But again, you take a lot of positives out of the fact that the Kings, not at their best, won this game. Now, they ended up needing a little bit of heroics from De'Aaron Fox in this one. It wasn't as much of a team win as we saw against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It took some heroics, but Sacramento was able to pull it out. So we kind of got a little good news, bad news game from De'Aaron, or rather Harrison Barnes. The good news was Harrison Barnes was very, very good in the first quarter again. He and Domantas Sabonis made up for the vast majority of the Kings' scoring in the first quarter. Yeah, Sabonis had 10, Harrison Barnes had 9, no other Kings starters scored. Davion Mitchell had 3 off the bench, and Chimezie Metu had 1 point. So 19 of the 23 points that the Kings scored in the first quarter came from Harrison Barnes and from Domantas Sabonis. Now, Barnes had 9 points, 6 rebounds, and an assist at the end of the first quarter. He finished the game with 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. So for the remainder of the game, and he played 30 and a half minutes, he only scored 4 points, had 1 more assist, and a couple more rebounds. Still, it's a stat line I'll take. Sacramento was struggling early on. Harrison Barnes was part of the reason why the Kings were able to stay afloat early in this game. So in that sense, Harrison did his job. But once again, we saw Harrison kind of disappear a little bit. This was a disappearing game at times for Barnes. He just wasn't as impactful as you would like to see him. And I'm aware that this kind of disappearance is significantly different from the disappearances of like the Golden State game earlier, or a couple games ago, or games before that, where he'd have goose eggs or only 1 or 2 points. Like, if Harrison is going to disappear, it's better for him to disappear kind of after he has that really strong quarter that he had. But these stat lines, these involved stretches of Harrison's play, that should be the norm for HB. Like him being involved, him not being necessarily the go-to guy, because he hasn't been. Even when he was scoring 9 points in the first quarter, he was not the go-to guy at all. It was still Domantas Sabonis. He was just kind of cleaning up and hitting good shots. Like this should be, that quarter stretch should be who Harrison Barnes is all game long, every single night. I think that's very achievable and not unrealistic to ask. The Kings only turned the ball over 9 times in their win over their win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They turned the ball over 15 times in this game, resulting in 13 points for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now they scored 19 of their own points off of 14 Lakers turnovers, but taking care of the basketball, not as good in this game as it was against Cleveland. Again, these are little kind of nitpicky things to point out, despite the fact that the Kings were still able to close out and win this game. One thing I was happy to see is that the Kings weren't horribly abused on the offensive glass. They still gave up 14 offensive rebounds. Second chance points was a concern. Lakers had 19 second chance points, but the Kings had 17. So it didn't end up killing them as much as maybe I thought it was going to heading into this game. Still other things to be nitpicky about. Overall, it's a win. It's a win over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Kings have won 5 of their last 7. They're a game under 500. Now they're going into hopefully get a little bit of revenge against the Golden State Warriors. For as we know, how that game in Golden State earlier in the week, was that this week? That was this week, wasn't it? It was Monday. How that game ended left a sour taste in a lot of our mouths, to say the least. I think Sacramento is more than capable of winning this game at home. Should be a fun environment. If you're going to that game, let me know. Hopefully I'll be there. If I'm feeling like this still, I will not be there. But if I'm feeling better, I will be at the arena. And let me know if you're going. I'd love to say hi and chat with you. And I'll make sure to wash my hands and put a lot of hand sanitizer and just sanitize everything before that time. Really appreciate your support. Thanks for getting through this this another sick podcast with me. De'Aaron Fox is so much fun, man. Isn't he? God, it's so much fun to watch Fox right now. And I tweeted this out. I'm glad that when the Kings play the Lakers, more of a national audience tunes in because it's the Lakers. And people were taking notice of what Fox was doing. It's about damn time. That's all I have to say. About damn time. Appreciate your support. Can't wait to talk to you next time. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.